No, Papa is coming. He's on his way. Yeah, Papa is on his way. Yes, but it's okay. Yes. Good morning. Let me take this opportunity to welcome all members and the Home Affairs Department delegation for honoring our invite. And I will take this opportunity to quickly allow members to make an introduction together with everybody who's here in the room. Let me start with my colleague, Honorable Mr.
Good morning. My name is Isimingobe from Gauteng.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Michael de Villiers, and I'm representing the Western Cape in the NCOP and in this committee. Thank you.
Madam, ke wendi mamuso mathata go tswana go fela. Bolwe. O se ke sa rantho. Eng o mapolo.
Okay. Okay.
I'm Tulis Leganya Zafalo, the content advisor for the committee. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm Kululi Molo, another advisor for the committee.
Morning, honorable members. My name is Kanye Sanjo Nja from Parliamentary Communication Services.
Good morning. I'm Sean Whiting. I'm also a researcher for this committee.
Yes.
Chairperson, thank you. Members of the committee, good morning. My name is Lindule Khasi from Home Affairs, Department of Home Affairs.
Good morning, Chairperson and members. My name is Mithabi Senarawa from the Department of Home Affairs and Intergovernmental Relations.
Good morning, I'm Eva from Skybridge and Advocacy Inter.
Hi, good morning. My name is Chedi and I'm from the United Nations High Commissioner for Refugees.
Hello, I'm Tiffany and I'm from PNG.
Okay, I'm Nomonde Hassman, chairperson of the committee. Let me take this opportunity to welcome all of you, including the representatives from other institutions. It's a pleasure to have you here. We have requested the committee this meeting from the department to come and make this presentation to us because in our interaction and discussions and debates between the committee and the department, we learned that some refugees are also benefiting from the social assistance grants in the country. So we wanted to go to understand and go better how does this process go about, so that we are able to explain it to our constituents, to our members, and to other people who don't understand what is it all about. Yeah, so that, we know that. So therefore, on that brief introduction, I will allow the department to take us through their presentation. Thanks. Over to you, Ms. Khan.
Thanks, Chairperson. Members, good morning again. Apologies from the DG of the department who could not make it. Within immigration in the department, we have a unit or a chief directorate that deals with management of refugees. And this is the division that then is the custodian of the information that pertains to all the refugees that are in the country. Now, the committee has asked us to come and explain what our role is in ensuring that the refugees that have been given status in South Africa and have got that and are eligible for social assistance do access that social assistance. Now, we are moving from, and we are in support of the SASSA slogan that says, pay the right social grant to the right person at the right time and place, njalo. So this is what we then have to do as the department. Our presentation this morning, we looked, Chairperson, at what our mandate is, what is the rights of refugees are, because social assistance and eligibility is a right issue, and then how then do they access that social assistance and the different type grant types that are there, and then what the role of the DHA is, and what are the challenges, and what is the way forward. Chairperson, I know this is not. This is basically what our. Can we go down here and try and make it bigger? Our mandate is. Chairperson, it was not designed that the members do not read. We underestimated how it looked like on the screen. But I will just go through that. If the members can just go to their presentation, that is the hard copies that they have. Our core mandate is to ensure that we give recognition to the relevant international legal instruments, principles and standards relating to refugees. We are a signatory to the UNHCR convention and the protocol, and therefore how then do we then give recognition and ensure that we do discharge our responsibilities in as far as that convention is concerned. How we go about doing it is that we receive all asylum seekers that come into South Africa. And then also we maintain the credibility of the asylum system. That is the system that we are utilizing to adjudicate all those claims. We ensure that credibility of that system is maintained so that we can then be able to efficiently and effectively recognize or issue those refugee status. We also provide for the rights and obligations flowing from such status, including issuance of enabling documents. And all those enabling documents, they are the ones that then ensure that refugees have got access to social assistance. We also provide support services to the refugees appeal spot as provided for in the Refugees Amendment Act. We also cooperate and participate in funding durable solutions to the problem of refugees, including promotion of voluntary repatriation of refugees, advancing regional, bilateral, and multilateral engagements. Refugee status is not a permanent situation. At one point in time, people have got to go back to their country. How then do we ensure that that happens and that we minimize all those things that have pushed people out of their countries? So we really rely on cooperation and coordination with the other countries. We also monitor the functioning of refugee reception offices. We also liaise with critical stakeholders such as UNHCR and NGOs. Now, the rights of refugees in South Africa, they are set out in Chapter 5 of Section 27 of the Refugees Act under Protection and General Rights of Refugees. A refugee is a person who has been given status, different from an asylum seeker. An asylum seeker is any person who comes to our offices and register a claim for asylum. And once we have finalized that claim, we then issue a refugee status. That means that that person is recognized as a refugee in South Africa. Once that person has been given that status, which is valid for 4 years now, it is then called a refugee. And that person is entitled to a formal written recognition of refugees in the status in a prescribed form, which is Section 24. Now, that person will then enjoy full legal protection, which includes the rights set out in Chapter 2 of our Constitution and the right to remain in the Republic of South Africa in accordance with the provisions of this Act. That person is also entitled to then apply for a permanent residence permit in terms of the Immigration Act of 22. After a person has been in the country for 5 years continuous in the Republic from the date in which he or she was granted asylum, if the Standing Committee certifies that he or she will remain a refugee indefinitely. That person is also entitled to an identity document which he needs to apply for within 40 days after status has been granted. that person is also entitled to apply for a travel document for refugees in the prescribed manner, and that person is also entitled to seek employment and is entitled to the basic, same basic social, health and basic primary education which the inhabitants of the Republic of South Africa receive from time to time. Now this is what then is the context within which we then move into social assistance and access to social assistance. Therefore, we know that social assistance is a non-contributory fund. It's means tested most of the time to determine eligibility, and it's not a universal system. But there are legislative frameworks that guide access to social assistance, and that will be the right to access section in our constitution, which is section 27(1)(c). It is our South African Social Security Agency Act number 9 of 2004, and then it's the promotion of administrative justice, which is commonly known as PAJA, promotion of equality and prevention of unfair discrimination act, and the PFMA, which is our Public Finance Act number 1 of 1999. Now, these are the grant types that the refugees are entitled to. Refugees are entitled to a grant for the aged. Once they attain, whether they are male or female, they attain the age of 60, and they are residents of South Africa, and they have been granted refugee status at the time of application for a grant, and they comply with the means test, and they are not in one of the following institutions, which is prison, psychiatric institution, state home for the aged, care and treatment center for drug dependents. Those people are entitled to a grant for the aged. And what they need for them to be able to access those grants, they must, one, comply with the normal means test and general procedures to be eligible for a grant that comes from SASSA. And then also they need to have a proof of identity. Refugees must present valid document in terms of Section 24 permit and a copy of the ID document or receipt that they have applied for an ID. The disabled is any person who has attained the age of 18 years, the disability confirmed by medical report, and the assessment thereof has also been confirmed that the disability is permanent or temporary, and the degree of disability makes it that person incapable of entering the labor market, and that person does not without good reason refuse medical or other treatment that is recommended. But that person must be a refugee residing in South Africa at the time of application. And at that time of application, he should be having a refugee status. And also complies with the means test, and then is also not maintained in the institutions that I have referred to. Therefore, Section 24 permit is very critical, and a copy of the ID document or a receipt that he has applied for an ID. Then foster care has granted the same thing. Here, you will find that there are those children that end up in South Africa, and they will need to be fostered. And for one reason or another, they find them in circumstances where they need to be fostered. And then we are saying that that child should be under the age of 18 years and then should have been placed in the custody of the foster parents in terms of the Children's Act number 38 of 2005. That the foster parent can be a South African, can be a foreigner that is legal in the Republic of South Africa. The citizenship of the foster child or foster parent is not a requirement. The foster parents need to be legal in the country. So a refugee can foster a child. A person who is here on a permit can foster a child as long as they go through the right steps and then they are legal in the country. And then they comply with the prescribed conditions. The foster per child grant is not means tested. Although there is, I think members have been following the matter very closely, there is a court case that a judgment from Gauteng court where it says that kinship, which really questions the kinship for the fostering of children, where it says grandparents do not have to go for and apply for foster care grants. So we are watching the space too. In addition, now this is where the unaccompanied minors who have been granted refugee status in South Africa are eligible for foster care grants through the foster homes that are providing a safe place for children. And then again, the requirements are in there. They must have a valid Section 24 permit. They must have, now if we are talking about copy of the ID, remember we said the children should be under the age of 18 years. We are then saying if it is a parent that is a refugee fostering them, that parent must have a copy of the Section 24 permit and the ID. The child, though, if he was born in South Africa, should have the birth registered, should come with the proof that the birth is registered. But the birth certificate or the birth registration permit alone is not enough. It must be accompanied by a Section 24. Here you will see when we come to the challenges. The challenge will be those children that come to South Africa and do not have birth certificates and were not born in South Africa. And that is where the challenge is. They claim to be under the age of 18. And then when you ask them to touch their ears, they can still do that. That becomes a problem. And if the child is being fostered by parents of foreign origin, valid permits issued in terms of the Immigration Act need to be presented. Care dependency grant. This is a grant where people look after children that are not okay and they do not qualify for disability grant. That this child must receive permanent care due to his or her severe mental or physical disability. The disability should have been confirmed by medical report. And the parent or foster parent or primary caregiver must be resident in the Republic or have a refugee status at the time of the application of the grant. Parents must be South African citizens, permanent residents of South Africa, or a refugee. Child must not be in an institution, including special schools, must comply with the prescribed condition and the means test. That is what SAFA requires. For us, we need to ensure that if it is a refugee child or it's a refugee parent that is applying, they should meet those criteria that has been set by SASA. But the Section 24 is very critical in the ID. And the child should have registered the birth in South Africa if the child was born in South Africa. If born outside, we are still trying to see how best can we deal with that. And then as a support grant, this is the child must be under 18 years of age. Grant is paid to the primary caregiver, who is a person, whether related or not, to the child, who takes primary responsibility for the daily upkeep of that child. The primary caregiver must not receive remuneration for taking care of the child. Primary caregiver or non-parent qualifies for a maximum of 6 children. After that, then that place has got to be registered if it's more than 6 children. And then from us, we need to ensure that the Section 24 and the ID is issued. We are saying the purpose of this grant, to our understanding, it's to supplement income to poor families with children. We have said that the child or children that are on our roll need then to provide us with a school report card. Now, this is what we then do as DHA, what is expected of us to support and ensure that there is access to social assistance by entry. We need to provide to SASA information that they need to plan for grants and be able to cost the grants that need to be accessed by refugees, and also be able to go to Treasury, not only on the figures of people that are South African, but this category of people too. So that information needs to come from us. We are the custodian of that information. We also need to issue enabling documents that will enable the refugees to access those grants. We need also to ensure the credibility of that information. We provide updated change of status information. If there is a child born to parents that are already here with the refugee status, and therefore we need to ensure that the child has got a birth certificate, and we update the files so that then that child can then complete, the parents can complete the missed test form that is then taken to SASSA and add on the list of the people if they do qualify that already accessed. We are the ones who verify the documents. We issue the documents and we've got a role to verify those documents so that the slogan, paying to the right person at the right time, Jalo, is really, you know, it really becomes alive. Now, this is then what we plan to do. We then say, as DHA, that all newcomers, all new asylum seekers, once their applications have been finalized, when they come to get their status, they should then be given means test form that they complete, which will then be taken to SASSA. SASSA will then determine, guided by their means test, whether these people qualify or not. But what we are saying is, we are sensitizing the SASSA that these are the people that we have granted asylum to, check whether they do qualify and meet your criteria. All those families, sometimes what happens is that asylum seekers, maybe a man or a woman comes alone, having left the children behind or the husband behind. And once they've reached these shores, they then ask for family joining. If those family members come, it is our duty as the DHA to then, because we will then update the file, then that we also ask them to complete the means test and we send it to SASSA. And then when parents or all those children that are born to refugees on the soil of South Africa, when they come to update their files at our different RROs, again as the Department of Home Affairs, we will issue them with the means test form so that again gets to be taken to SASSA. Because again, there's been a change in the file or the family or the structure of the family that came to South Africa. Now, in the issuance of enabling documents, and again, maybe what I have forgotten to include in the provision of information to plan is when deaths occur. When the deaths occur, we also need to do that and inform SASSA of all those deaths that have been reported to us. And those people that have left our shores to be resettled somewhere, we also need. So all that information, whatever happens in the file, we need to be able to ensure that SASSA is aware of it, especially because our systems are not integrated. Otherwise, we would have worked on the system and we would have put a file instruction that SASSA would have been able to pick up on their socket. But we are still very far from that integration, although we are working towards that. The issuance of enabling documents, that starts with the registration of births of children born to refugee within the civil registration framework. They will follow the civil registration framework and they will register those children. And then there will be the issuance of birth certificates to children born to refugees. But then they still need to come to our offices to report the birth of a child born to a refugee. They need to be reported at the RRO for us to be able to update the file and be able to issue them with the Section 24. Remember, the one that would have been issued is for the parents. But now to legalize the stay of that child in South Africa, we need to issue a Section 24. Now that I've indicated that our refugee status is now valid for 4 years. And then I'm happy to report that we've finally been able to, or we are now going to be able to issue refugees with the 13-digit identification document that is similar to South African. The only thing that is different is that down there is the validity of the document. So when we extend the section 24, we then have to extend here so that it's valid and they're able to continue accessing. And then the verification of information documents issued to refugees. We are improving the security features in documents that were issued. The section 24, there is a new section 24 document that is coming out that has got new security features so that it's not easy for it to be reproduced in all the other DHA offices that are in our backyards. Process being implemented with financial institutions to verify and confirm refugee status and documents. What we have been doing with all the financial institutions, banks, is that we are able to verify, even for asylum seekers, the documents that those asylum seekers and refugees have, so that they are able to open accounts and are able then, especially because we are following a non-entitlement policy, so they need to go out there and be involved in different types of sustainable livelihood and things, so we do that. We are also introducing a track and trace tool within our NIS system so that we are able to track and trace the application from the time the person registers up until the time the refugee leaves our shores. We've also, I think people are aware that it has been taking us more than 6 years sometimes to finalize the applications for asylum seekers. There are those asylum seekers who came into the country in 2008 that are still on Section 22. From September last year, we introduced a new system that going forward, we are going to be operating on a current system. There won't be any backlog. So within 6 months, which is 180 days, we are finalizing applications for new asylum seekers. We are working at integrating our systems and business processes to improve information management and integrity. This we are starting with our systems within the department. And then we are also looking at systems outside the department. And then we update files of families with children below the ages of 18 years of age already granted status. And we let them fill the means test forms. I think I've talked about that one. And we're doing this for new cases, but there's going to be a challenge with old cases. And we are looking well at that. And we're finalizing SOPs for unaccompanied children. Here we are really having a challenge. And we think, I mean, children decide to leave and follow the lights. And if they think that there are brighter lights in Johannesburg or in Cape Town or elsewhere, they will come. Now we need to determine first what these children are running away from. Are they running away from their parents? Are they running away from what? And therefore, then again, collaboration needs to be there. This is very, very challenging because in no time we might be accused by other countries for taking these children and harboring them in South Africa. Completion of means test form by all refugees about to attain 60 years so that we plan in advance. Then it's the issuance of enabling documents. We are saying that normally when you get a Section 24, when it expires in October 2014, what happens is that refugees come in October 2014 to renew. And then that might create a problem in that whilst it's not just them coming in and we renew, we need to review. Remember, we need to look and say that the conditions that existed then in their country that forced us to give them refugee status still they do exist. Therefore, it takes time. So what we have introduced is that now instead of them coming in October, they need to come 6 months before, so that it gives us time and there isn't that lapse of the grant if we do extend the refugee status. They need to report the death of a refugee to the RRO to update the file and withdraw the status. And then the registration of marriages of refugees within the civil registration framework, and also reporting to us so that we update that file. And then therefore this is what, as you can see, this goes with a lot of awareness that needs to be raised amongst refugees themselves to understand. This goes again with a lot of horizontal and vertical cooperation and coordination that needs to happen with other departments as well as the NGO sector. The challenges. Refugees, like I have indicated, often struggle to produce childbirth certificates, especially those that were born outside the country. We are coming from a civil registration conference in Durban with African countries, where we were told that there are other African countries where birth registration does not happen. Now those children, when they come here, and then we give them refugee status, and then we say you cannot access without a birth certificate, they then ask us, what are you talking about? And that becomes a problem. And then again, areas for litigation. But it's not, the problem is not here, it's from outside the country. And then also, parents, remember, refugees are not a category of people that decide to leave their country. That decision is normally taken somewhere. They are running away from persecution, and then you find that parents are not in possession of any ID document. And at the time of the child's birth, will not have any ID number or any birth certificate. So it becomes also a problem. Now, what we are doing currently, because we do not take fingerprints, we issue birth certificates to children born to foreigners, but they do not have an ID number. Whereas our children, that's the ID number, when they turn 18, that ID number, which is on the birth certificate, it's not the case with this one. And that, again, is a problem. What is the status of that birth certificate that you are giving? Is it just a registration of the event that happened in the family? And what is the legal status of that? And then, again, we've got a problem. You find that the parents, surname is Dos Santos, and their child does not bear any of the surnames. Mm-hmm. And then they come up with an era where you are dealing with child trafficking. Mm-hmm. How do you ensure that this child is really born to these refugees and trade? And then Section 24 permits expire after 4 years, like I have said. And that is the refugee status document that we give. But it does not indicate the date upon which the person ceases to be a refugee. But the date on which the refugee needs to extend his status. And if this is not handled properly, it's a big area for litigation. The document that we've given you has expired, but you still need protection. What is it then that we're doing to ensure that if you still need protection with all the rights that are accorded to you, you still are able to access the social assistance? Refugees are not registered in the Department of Labor or UIF database. That SASA employees cannot accurately verify their income and employment history. So the means test thing becomes a problem. And then how then to ensure that we are giving to those that are eligible? Business processes, especially between civics, just within the department itself, are not well sequenced to minimize fraudulent practices. If they want to get married, they present themselves to the Department of Home Affairs, they marry, only to find that with us on our database, that person we are looking for him to deport, but he's now married to another saying he's got refugee status. Now he becomes a refugee by default. And therefore you need to sequence those interventions so that those business processes, so that there is that seamless flow of processes. And then again, you need various databases to conduct for you to be able to obtain accurate information. And these sources are not easily accessible or interpreted. Provision of social assistance to refugees can act as a pull factor to South Africa, thus exerting more pressure on the limited resources and capacity. Now this can be an oasis syndrome, that everybody will then flow down towards where the water is. Now way forward, we are in negotiations with SASA to harmonize procedures and criteria requirements to ensure access by eligible refugees. We also are working on the online verification at SASA through biometrics to verify identity of the refugees claiming the grant at that particular time. We also need to raise awareness of SASA staff, especially the frontline workers, on the profile of refugees as beneficiaries to social assistance and the implications thereof. They are used to servicing South Africans. Now they need to be sensitized to this category of beneficiaries. We need also to fast track the finalization of the regulations of the amended Act. The Refugees Act has been amended. It was passed in Parliament last year. We're in the process of finalizing the regulations, because that's what brings about the registration of births of children born to asylum seekers and refugees. We also need to, and we are working on enhancing and integrating DHA's information systems and business processes to better serve refugees. And we also improve the credibility of the face value documents issued by our asylum seeker management. And then I've talked about strengthening coordination and cooperation amongst critical stakeholders around issues of access to social assistance by refugees. And then improve the effectiveness and efficiency of the status determination system. I don't know whether members are aware that we are moving towards a committee model that will really be looking at status determination, moving away from one person determining status of refugees. And then again, we are working on developing and implementing a regional strategy to manage secondary movements. Okay, members, this is then what we hope will then be achieved by all this that we are going to be doing. And again, taking from where we're coming from, that we've just come back from civil registration, that we hope that this will assist us to have a very accurate and credible refugee population register system, where we register all those people that have been given decisions or status, those that are joining, the families that are here, those that are coming in to resettle in South Africa that have been given refugees elsewhere, the deaths that happen, and other increases that might happen. But also, we register when people exit the refugee population system through voluntary repatriation, through cessation, through being naturalized, where they get their PRP, and when they go to be settled elsewhere, and well, again, through death. So, members, thank you very much. I hope it does answer some of the questions that the members had concerning the role that Department of Home Affairs has to play in ensuring that the refugees that are eligible do access the social assistance. I thank you, Chairperson and members.
Thanks very much, Sidi. And thanks for the comprehensive presentation you've just made. It has opened our eyes and our minds for us to be able to talk to it. And
I didn't understand why are the, our brothers and sisters fled in South Africa in terms of coming here. 2 months ago I was in Uganda, then I understood why. The reasons why they left South Africa and why they fled in South Africa. A few questions before I allow members, let me ask this one. There are refugees, I know it's not part of the presentation, but I would like to know the refugees that are running businesses and not registered staff. How does the department address, and they, obviously they don't pay tax because they are not registered. And, if you can please explain to us about European and American refugees. How many do we have here in the country? Because we always focus on Africans only. Yeah, we forget about those who have been here for generations in South Africa. And what measures have been put in place to deter abuse by applicants as well as Home Affairs officials? Those are the few questions we'd like to ask. Member Mnube, Member Ranto, Member Gervilias, and Member Faba. Not right now. Okay. Not
order. Thanks, Madam Chairperson. The first one is a comment. Say, like you said, there needs to be an education and awareness of this. We went to number 4 prison, and they were telling us that inmates get released of foreign nationals. They get released, they go home, back when they are pregnant, make a crash when they're imprisoned, then they're pregnant. They get their children in the prison and go back. Come back the following year pregnant. And then, so I think this may lead them to say, okay, here is the conditions. The other one is just emphasize on the ones that come here and establish businesses. The conduct in Gauteng is that they persuade RDP owners to sell them their houses, then we have spa shops there. You should imagine, and at the end they become like every house is a spaza shop. Then you then find the resistance and the fights that the South African business people say, you know, but why all of you being foreign nationals are owning businesses? And when we try to intervene, they will tell us about their rights. We've given them rights as asylum seekers, which the proof, they can't even give us the proof to say yes, they came here and were granted to be business. Thank you.
So just these ideas that they get, similar to ours, would they use those ideas to vote? How would you differentiate between it and the naturalized one? Thanks.
Okay.
Then, Honorable Chairperson, I just want to ask a few questions on the refugee status, né? That is only 4 years, and it says here, if the asylum seeker is continuous resident in the Republic from the date of which he or she was granted asylum, the standing committee certifies that he or she will remain a refugee indefinitely. And then that person after 5 years can apply for a permanent status in South Africa. My question is, if he that person has got is here in South Africa for about more than 5 years, is that person going in during that 5 years period, is he or she going to the offices of the department reporting himself that he's still in South Africa? Is he or she allowed
to go to his country if the country situation is changing every now and then? Is he allowed? And if he goes back to his country, does he have to apply again for the refugee status, or is it going to count from the day that he entered the country? The second question is, also my concern, I've got a concern also, you know, Chairperson, of the status of the children that are coming in South Africa without birth certificate and IDs, and you might not know when are they born. And the Department of Home Affairs has got a problem or a challenge in dealing with those issues. It means the problems that we have here in South Africa as South African will also escalate. I've got a problem with an old lady in my constituency. I'm not sure if she from Lesotho or not, but she has got an ID. But when she can't do anything, she's old. But ID, I can say she is born in 1956 or 54. I'm not sure, but her status says she can still work. But I've said to the EPWP people, employ her and see if she can work. If she can't, come and report back to me so that I can see what can I do. There's this registration of death refugees. I am also sitting with a dead person in my constituency who is a refugee, who is expecting Home Affairs to transfer him back, or her back to him, it's a him, transfer him back to this place, to Lesotho, Maseru, or, yeah, Lalis, those villages that are around Maseru. Do you transfer cops from South Africa? Or is it something that, because these people are always claiming they are right, they've been right to be in South Africa, given by the Department of Home Affairs. So do you transfer the cops from South Africa to the countries for asylum seekers? Thank you, Chairperson. I can't see the other questions that I have.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question is in connection with a report of the monitoring from your department to the refugee reception officers. That report. Can we as committee just have that report if you do have it? That is on page 3 of the document. You got it? You're looking so confused. To monitor the functioning of refugee reception officers. I'm actually interested in the report. I know that it can be a thick document or maybe a few pages, but you can just forward us through you, Chairperson, if the other people or members, honourable members, are interested in that. Then the other question is in connection with the grant for the aided. Now, if you're a South African citizen and you are in an old age home, then you do receive the old age pension. Now here is stated that if the refugee is in a state home for the aged, then that person is not qualifying for that grant. Can you just explain, because the home for the aged usually make use of that money to support them in administrating the old age home. Can you just explain that situation? Because for my understanding, I don't think it is fair. And the other question, Honourable Chairperson, is in connection with the 14 days. The refugee must register the birth of the child born within 14 days. What happened if this parent or parents register that child after the 14 days? Then the other one, Honourable Chairperson, is in connection with the challenges of the department. Children of refugees often bear a surname different from the one of their parents. Now, from your side, what are you doing, if that is actually the case, in assisting or finding the correct information in connection with the child and the parents? And I'm very concerned in the situation of child trafficking. There must be some way which the Department of Home Affairs must do to certify the information. And then the last one, Honorable Chairperson, I think, let me just check here, in connection with... Yeah, I think that's all. The other one is clear to me. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to know, you spoke about the identification documents, and I would like to know, apparently you said that they are getting a specific identification document. I would like to know, is that going to be under the new ID card system? Because we are all waiting in anticipation for this ID card, which we haven't seen yet, and I'm just wondering, are we still going on with the ID book system, specifically with e-registries as well, or are we now stopped with that, and are we just busy with ID cards as from now, specifically also in this situation with refugees? Thank you.
Okay.
I forgot the one question that says the child must not be in an institution, including special schools. Why? The qualifying criteria in the qualifying. Why? Because I take it a child who is in a special school is not of his or her making or the parents' making. Why do you say he must not be in an institution?
Okay, yeah, Honorable.
Yes, just a little thing. The chief director has been talking about lots of authorities. RRO and NIS, we don't know, we're not making the you've defined others, but these ones you haven't.
Can also tell us about the refugees who are employed at private homes. How do they know when they are supposed to go and apply, when they finish the four-year? Where do they go exactly? Do they go straight to the Home Affairs office, or what do they do? Exactly. Yeah.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll attempt to answer your question. And one on refugees that are running business. Maybe we should be the members to okay. Members, I would really like you to look at it again. To look at the slide. The Act was passed in 1998. That's when it started operating, the Disabilities Act. If you look at that time, what we were getting, asylum seekers, the number that we were getting a year was 11,150. That is, out of those numbers, we then needed to determine who really need protection so that they can then become refugees. But look at 2008. We were standing at 207,206 that we received in that 1 year alone. Of all that came to our shore seeking asylum, that we had to determine whether they really need this protection or not. When you look at what we had the following year, which was 341,602. When we went to the United Nations, a statement was issued by the UNHCR Commission where they admitted that again South Africa was the main destination for all the people that needed that one or two. They were all coming to South Africa. The number was even bigger than anything that was lodged in all the European countries put together. Not just one. If you think what happened in Greece, what happened in Italy, now all of those put together, we were the highest. Global. Now what does that mean? Well, it means that we have a challenge of people that are coming to this country, not because they need asylum, but then they want to come and work. The same thing that with the same stories that we had when we were growing up, that the cities are paved with gold. They are going even further up to Egypt and all those things, and they come down here to try it. By so doing, I'm now trying to say, where then do they get employed when they come in here? Now, if you have got this number, 341, by the time we get to the 341.60 person, that will be 2018 or 2020. So they are in the country, illegally, in your constituencies, and all of the ones in the portrait, so they are not even illegal in the country. Now, what I'm trying to say is who is a refugee and who is an asylum seeker? If you are an asylum seeker, it's because you registered your claim. And we give you 6 months, you keep on coming every 6 months to renew. If a person has not renewed, that person is legal. Now, I would be interested to see the documents of that Mosutu. That person has any duty to be in South Africa. Now, because we do not follow an encampment policy, there isn't any camp where we take them to. Once they register, they go into our communities. And now they have been exposed to better ways of using what they have to make more money. Better than South Africans do. Really, South Africans come from a history where you go and get somebody to employ you. Seek employment. These ones are coming from areas where they can make money out of debt, out of everything. Now what then do they do? They do this in partnership with South Africa. Because in the townships where we are, they go to an old woman or a family that has a 4-room house. And they say, Mama, we're going to build you a garage. And Mama is very happy. Gives them, they build a garage and we're going to pay 2,000 every month. And we are going there to run a spa shop from there. Now they do it in partnership with us, South Africa. And then what then do they then do? They then start running businesses from there. And those businesses are not registered. It happens right in the backyard of the counselor. It happens right in the backyard where you have ward committee. So it really challenges how we work from a community up to home affairs, up to GI. What is it that we do? There is a study that we are doing with DTI member from Gauteng around Marabastad, where we are looking at the businesses that are run by foreigners, just to check how many of those are registered. And we found that most of them are registered. And then again in Soweto we have a committee that we are working with, where we have the business people. And then this is what then causes trouble. And when trouble flares up, it's then xenophobia. Whereas it is not xenophobia, it's all these things. But also, I would like the members just to look at your organizations that are supporting refugees. If you go to these organizations that are giving out grants for development, If I go there as a South African, I'm asked to go and form a corporate and come and apply with my corporate. Then I have to go and talk to the same and all the others. What if refugees can get a grant on their own? And what then happens is that go along Kotikan Street in Johannesburg, they own a saloon, a South African go in to get their head done out of this grant money. And that was a kind of thing that fuels this. And therefore, in an area where there are limited resources, you will have this conflict and problem. So it is a thing that we really need to look at and say, hosting refugees, whatever kind of place that we need to do. Which are the other players that need to come on board? For instance, if I'm working for IDT, if I'm working in the Department of Social Development, and I'm going out there to facilitate community development, I've never thought of a refugee. When I go out there, I'm looking for all South Africans with ID documents. And a refugee comes with an ID document that they never say you're not part of this. And again, it's fuel. We really need to, as South Africans, to say, what does this mean? What are the implications of this? Starting with a counselor, if in your ward you've got 10 refugees, those refugees are entitled to the RDP house. Those refugees are entitled to free electricity and water. Those refugees are entitled to send their children to free school fees, whatever. But have we raised the awareness of our people to understand that? Now, I got a lift on the 8th of August. I was here in Cape Town and I was going down to Barak's house. I got a taxi from Cape Town. The taxi driver asked me whether I'm going to renew my ID. So I said, no, I work for Home Affairs. He asked the next question, because Barak right now is refugee. He said to me, why are you allowing this number of people to come into our country? Then I started telling him, hey, there's a UN convention. You know what he said? He said, if I leave my house and I go to Pretoria, I tell my children, there is a woman or a man who is going to come here from Khayelitsha, going to stay with us for 3 weeks. We are going to give him that bedroom, that's where he is going to be. He said, you've never told us anything. The next thing, we just saw them here.
Yes.
Now, you want us now to accommodate them. When we don't know where they come from, we don't know about your protocol, but that is the other story that you told us. And it made sense. So, I said, when I leave my house, if there's going to be a stranger coming in, I tell my children, that so-and-so is going to come during my absence. This is what you are expected to do. So, it is a concerted effort that we need to go into and really ensure, because when these things happen, then we start saying our communities are going to
succeed. We are expecting a lot from our
communities.
And that is where it is. So the African European, I can tell you about the Chinese and the Indians and the Bangladesh. We've got lots of those. But and again, I just want to show you in 6 months what we've been getting, that is from January. Just to show, we do not really get a lot of. You see, from January to, if you look at Devon, the people that we get over 6 months, they've been coming from Ethiopia, Pakistan, India, Burundi, DRC, and Somalia. And again, Cape Town, and again, Sina, Maravan, the hotels that we do not have. But if you look at the chapters and the members of this, somebody has got to tell me, if for instance, Cape Town, the second highest is Malawi, where is the fire in Malawi? That has caused people to run away. Now those are the type of questions. In Zimbabwe, there's no fire in Zimbabwe. There's really no fire in Zimbabwe. Now you can see that these are not refugees. These are people that are here for economic reasons. And these are the type of people. Bangladesh, Pakistan, India. And if you are running away, that's another thing. If you are running away from persecution, you will run to the nearest country. You won't go over the sea. I'll come to really. And again, members, if you look at our neighbors, all of them signed the convention with reservation, which restricts the movement of asylum seekers. We did not sign. So people run from the DRC to Malawi. They stay in the camps and run out of the camps to South Africa. Now these camps empty in South Africa. And then on the issue of foreign nationals, fraudulent practices, and again, I'm sure these numbers will just indicate to you that this is a fertile ground for cottage industry. Yeah. Now, there are many, many players in this cottage industry. You've got the agents, you've got the foreigners themselves, you've also got DHA staff involved. So you've got cartels, you've got all sorts of things involved. Now that's why then the department has recently established a unit at the DDT level that is looking at counter corruption and conduct. And it's really working very hard to ensure. Because now, if you get into a queue with 341,000 people, have got to come in every now and then to renew. Now the queues are going to be long. And therefore you want a favor to be done for you to get the permit renewed. And then those that are entrepreneurs, they see an opportunity for them and they start trading. So we really are working very hard to ensure that even the introduction of a new model is also to ensure the credibility of our system. Because if there is a lot of mistrading, then it affects our credibility of the system, and therefore we won't be able to ensure that those that really need protection do get the protection. Because among these, there will be few as they might be. I just want to share with you again another in the just look at this. Again, it's in 5 months. Devon adjudicated 3,420 cases during that time. And only 124 were refugees. 124. 6,119 were Zimbabwe. Only 15 of those Zimbabwe. Now, you have another struggle to get these 6,000 and something out of the country to put them back to South Africa, coming back to Zimbabwe. It's counting foreign nationals, South Africans give certificates to foreigners, but those are foreigners. But again, as you rightly pointed out, do they understand? Right now we are registering, I think members have been here, especially from the state chief, we are registering people that are along our borders. And we've been seeing buses coming from Gauteng broken down because the Roma is granting IDs to foreigners.
Okay.
So it's how much of this is fact and how much of this is fiction. And again, this thing that was giving grants, which is children, prenatal support grants to foreigners, people will come into the country, give birth and go out so that the government can take care of those children. And they believe that those children will finally become South Africans. And that is the rumor out there. And again, we need everybody to come on board for us to be able to disseminate correct information. And our counselors and everybody in the communities, our pastors need to understand all this. And I've talked about, remember from Housing, about the fact that we are giving the refugee status to foreigners, and we are hosting foreigners, but we are not encouraging them to be in conflict with our
Yeah.
We have got our laws that need to be protected, that need to be adhered to, and people need to do things according to them. There is nobody who is exempted from them. Refugees have got all rights except the right to vote. If you look at their ID, it says South Africa, it will say nationality of Bali. It will say Somali, which is that person is under South Africa. Where you have your barcode when you open your door, it also says refugee. It does indicate that you are a refugee. So we don't vote. And remember from Eastern Cape, when a person has been given a refugee status, even if a person, let's say, came in 2005, but his case was only finalized this year, which is 2012, we will start counting from 2012. That's when the person got a refugee status. Now, the person keeps on going back to the RRO. The RRO, remember, it's a refugee reception office. I think, again, you know that we've been in papers closing some of the refugee reception offices, for decisions to close those refugee reception offices. The one in Crown 9 decision was taken because of the nuisance factor, because those 360 that you see will still go to the refugee reception offices. And the most of our refugee reception offices were not designed to care such big numbers. So they start milling around and all that, and the nuisance factor comes in, and we get to court, and we are then advised to close. And then we have also closed the one in Cape Town, the one in PE. So now we are left with only three that are taking newcomers. That is your Mustina, your Marabastad, or Marabastad and the satellite, which is Hero, and also David. Those are the three that are taking. Those are the Arabos. So they go in there to renew their permit. And when they come in then when their cases have been finalized and their issues with the refugee status, they then come back, and I'm answering the one on the 14 days. All South Africans are expected to register their children within 80 days. So the refugee, when a child is born to a refugee or an asylum seeker, that person will have to register within the civil framework, that is in any of the DHA offices. Register the event, the best event, in 10 days. But we are expecting that refugee to also come to our offices after registering within 40 days after to say, listen, there is an additional member in my family so that we can update the file, because we are the custodian of the information coming to refugees in the and that is what we mean by 40 days. But then again, what SCRA does, which is the standing committee, if a DRC member comes in, they will write a letter that I've been here for them, I've been granted refugees, asylum or status for 5 years now, and I've been living in South Africa, not anywhere else. I haven't been going out and all that. In South Africa for 5 years, and because of the following which makes me not able to go back, I am requesting that I be certified as the person who will remain a refugee indefinitely. SCRA will then consult the country of origin information to say, is this a fact? Can we really grant? And there's a criteria that we have that they then look at to say, can we grant this person refugee status in death? Now, there is a cry out there where refugees go out and say, I've been here for 5 years and I haven't been caught, because they thought if you get into the refugee regime and you get to be regularized after 5 years, get a PRC. It's not automatic. It's not automatic. Even with Somalis, with the election of the president last night, it's going to change. Because they cannot remain refugees indefinitely. The situation in Somalia is changing. So now refugees are making a lot of noise. They're not responding because they need to get PRP. It's not a passage that you get refugee status, you get this, you get this, the next thing is done. And once the person has gone back to his country, that person is amazing to the protection of the country. South Africa says, we will protect you as long as your country is unable to do it. If you go back, then your country is able to protect you. We withdraw our refugee status. You go and apply, others have come here, they get refugee status, and they go and apply in their embassies for a passport. When we get to hear about it, we withdraw. Because you've unveiled it yourself to the protection of your country. And we do not transport corpses, whether legally or illegally in the country. We do not even transport from Gauteng to Eastern Cape. Okay. Member from Civilius, Mr. Civilius from Western Cape. The monitoring that we do is not a report, although we do get monthly reports from Harare, but it's a day-to-day that we do on a daily basis. To ensure that they are able to finalize these cases within 6 months, they operate in a manner that is in line with our standard operating procedures and policies. And people that are institutionalized, the agents, if you look at the report that you referred, we said date. If a person, for instance, all the old age homes that are government owned, government is paid. So what we do not then, SASSA does not pay the whole amount. Because some of that money is going towards the subsidization of those old age homes. And that's what I'm saying. The same goes for the special group. You take that, because remember it's a means and therefore it comes back. And the registration of birth, I have answered that one. And the different settings. We have got, this is a difficult one because it needs the participation of other organizations, both national and international organizations. You've got the International Social Services coming in. You've got the Red Cross on the tracing coming in. When you trace this, it takes time. But what we do is that we do an update, when and repeat, so that we can be able to register once these other processes are taking place, where we trace the parents, we trace, we get the information, we rely on your UNHCR, we rely on your IOM, we rely on International Red Cross, and to be able to trace the where the child comes from, whether the child is really born to the people that claim to the child, all claim to be primary caregiver. Can I show you there are some cases where we have found people to have been abused. And on the IG system, the NGOs will tell you that it has taken us a long, long time just to be able to give the issue to refugees the green, the institute, the IT. We don't even want at this point in time to look at refugees and the ID card. The ID card currently we are really focusing on the South African national. And then when it's working very well, we can then look and say, how can we then extend to this category of people. But yet we are on track with the IDC, the card system for the nation. We are just hacked right now that we are able to issue refugees with the 13th ID. We are not even looking at the card. Denise, M-I-I-S, a member from Calden, stands for the National Immigration Integrated System. That is the information system that we are using for refugees and asylum seekers. That's where they are registered. All of them have got your Section 22 are registered in the NIST system, and once they get their Section 24, they are registered in the NIST system. I think I have answered all of them, but I just want to say then, and maybe to emphasize the fact that there is no way South Africa can effectively and efficiently manage asylum seekers and refugees without the cooperation of the countries in the region, because if we have the cooperation, we'll be able to. And then, therefore, that's why we really, our strategy is threefold. Yes, we're doing what we can do nationally, but we also are focusing on bilateral engagement and negotiations as well as multi-regional, which is your strategy as well as multi-regional. Thank you. Okay.
Thanks very much. Yeah, I will allow the last round of questions. Yeah, let me start with Member Mahate, Member Ranto, Member Mube. And also, can you also just tell us about the, you emphasize a lot on awareness and education that is supposed to be done on one constituencies. We are fully agree with that, and we want to participate in that program and assist. But I haven't seen any documentation from the department which is user-friendly, simple to understand, so that we can take people through it. Like for instance, in social development, we have this pamphlet that talks about all the grants they are issuing, and they're giving them in a simple form so that we understand quickly and simpler. So we would appreciate if we can get something like that from the Home Office, so that anybody can easily understand it, educate people about it. So, oh, yeah, over to Omandako Mahat. Yeah.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Chairperson. I've got only two issues. I think the first one is very specific. The issue of the people who are in mining areas. Like, for example, if I have to be specific, we've got a problem in Orkney around those people who were employed by Aurora. Most of them are and they don't have like your identity documents. And how do you deal with that situation? Because I personally interacted with the regional office there, which they said that maybe you should clarify whether is it possible that, because they're saying that these people, some of them came before even 94 in South Africa, they had those ID documents that allow them to work in South Africa for a certain period, but now they can't even be assisted by other departments because they're not regarded as South Africans. And the proposal was that there can be a political intervention. I just want to check, is it possible for political intervention on the a case like that? The second one, you talked about this thing of education, you referred to the issue of counselors, like everybody actually. But I've got a concern. I think here I know that I'm going to be very controversial, but this is the reality. Your Human Rights Commission, You in most cases when they respond, when a department is trying to deal with the situation, the way they deal, you know, or the message that they create is like, South Africa, we are not friendly towards our foreign nationals. How do we engage our Human Rights Commission? You know, maybe just for them to support, you know, to understand the challenges and home affairs that you are having. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. I see this research unit document in front of me. I was going to suggest to the Department of Home Affairs to give us the what do you call it, the table of the refugees that they have in each province.
and the challenges per province, because my understanding or what I think is that the challenges that you have in the Office of Home Affairs might not be the same, might differ in provinces. If you can give us a document that just because here in the NCOP we represent provinces, so when we talk with our people, we should, or talk to the department, we should talk about the problems in our, or challenges that we get in our provinces. And only I'm not sure now, am I going to repeat the same question that Honorable Mahati has just said, because I was of the opinion that we need to have a register of workers, of asylum seekers, workers that we have here in South Africa, as much as the business people that we have here in South Africa. Just give us that information so that we know, and give us per province as well, as I have said in my first question or first. Yeah, I think that's all, Chairperson.
Okay.
If there's anything, I will write down.
Okay, sir. In some of the requests that has been made, we'll appreciate it if the department can give us in detail a written form. We'll submit it later to our offices, more especially on the request that has been made on those reports. What is honourable?
No, Chairperson. This meeting is very fruitful. However, lots of problems are there. For instance, in Gauteng, we have Hilbro. And when you go there, you feel like you are the person that is a foreigner, because they've taken over Hilbro. Then you go to the informal settlement, the same thing. And then when few South Africans try to identify them, then media calls it xenophobic. I'm looking at the status to say you don't hear anything about Gauteng refugees. So what it means that all these that are there are illegal. However, the police, the capacity of the police also, they can't be running after them and leave those that are killing people or stealing. So it's an entire that what it takes. For instance, last year there was a closure of those shops whilst the MC for housing was tracing whether they're illegal or not. Because it took more than 3 months, then there was a question of the pressure of they are no longer getting any income. So the premier said, open here. So they opened and those cases are left hanging. And then when the image said, no, South Africans are very xenophobic. Thank you.
Just to follow up, especially on the situation of the child, when you identify that the difference in the surnames, then there's a space before you get in the correct information. What happened to the child in that space? Thank you.
Let me start with a follow-up question. I think what I said is that based on the applicant, there's a parent that we then grant the child. We want to register the parent, we register the parent based on that applicant. Once the other processes are on hold, yes. Chairperson, I'll start with your question. It's not a question, I think it's a comment here. We appreciate it, and I think it's noted. And just maybe to share with the members that within the chief directorate, we have got a director or a directorate that is dealing with stakeholder management. Unfortunately, that the chief directorate is fairly new. We are only having a director coming on board on the 3rd of October. So you will be seeing a lot of that. But to end, and I think again, the answer is the question of the member from the same team. We we have identified local municipalities as the structures that we really need to work on. Remember, from Gauteng, we are already working with the metro, your Johannesburg, and your Pretoria. And then we're just starting to do the profile that the member is talking about. How many of people or refugees that we've given status to are living in the township? And they need this free electricity, and they are involved in what type of sustainable livelihood interventions and all that, and that's what we are doing. But also we hope that when we do that profile, we'll also be able to identify the skills that might be needed by the local municipality to be able to take their local development agenda forward. But we also are able to form partnerships with South Africa. If we've got a person that is doing very well business-wise from Somali, from where, how then do we learn from that? So that we can have this what kind of benefits that we are deriving from hosting refugees instead of us always calculating the cost. But there are benefits, and as those benefits come forward. And that's a way also of changing a section of our community. The member from Northwest, the issue that you have raised around the opening minor expression, I agree with you, they need a political discussion and I think you are aware that the minister embarked on a drive to document Zimbabwe, and that again to be when they are obvious, but I think at a political level it can be handled. But the special dispensations and all that, I don't know how they arrive at it, but I think can be raised. And but just to say that those miners came into South Africa as Basotho citizens. It cannot be South Africa on its own that decides to make them South African, because that might affect the relationship with I think this is a political matter that needs political intervention. But what I can say is that the Department of Home Affairs is looking at issues of statelessness and the convention, there is a convention on statelessness. How do we avoid statelessness? Those Basotos, are they stateless or they are Basotos that the Basotho government is awaiting their attack? How do we ensure taking into consideration the cooperation and the coexistence of both sides? I think you've raised an issue around human rights commission. Most of the issues that we are handling within refugee regime are human rights things, and therefore how do we interact with those NGOs that are pursuing and lobbying and advocating for refugees, and also the agencies like your Human Rights Commission, so that they get to understand what our mandate is and the measures and mechanisms that we put in place. We might not agree on all things, but they need to understand that this is what we are doing, and that we have to do, and this is how we go about. We have got forums where we meet with them, but we must also remember that the agendas might be different, and we need to take that into consideration. But we need to make sure that the government views put out there, and they get to understand what it is that we're doing. The main thing right now that the NGOs are not happy about, and they look at it as a way of government trying to to close the space that has been created for refugees. It's our policy that we have announced that we are going to move the refugee reception offices towards the border. And that has created a lot of talk, and that we're going to be having around the table a meeting on Thursday and Friday, and I know there will be coming out with the smoking gun on that one. But that's a government decision, and we need to say, we are here, we are governing, and this is what we have to do, and then NGOs can be from for that, but we just make it and I think we've talked about. I would like to get a copy of the parliamentary request document. Member from Kauri, I also come from Kauri, just below you. And I think what you are raising is, again, it goes back to raising awareness. What does it mean when we say South Africa is now a member of the global community? Coming from an era where we were closed, now we open up. What does that mean? So that we do not go alone as members of parliament, we go with our constituency and they fully understand. And I go back again to what the chairperson has said, that we as the department, we need to use this forum and ensure that the information is disseminated through the members that are seated here. They are a critical stakeholder in disseminating the information and ensuring that. My last point is, if this is the situation, if out of the 40,041 people that came to the panel asking for asylum and were adjudicated within 6 months, we only released 1,241 as people that have got refugee status. It means those people in your community are not refugees. They are just being as undocumented.
The workshop that was held last week or 2 days,
yes.
Maybe in 5 years' time it will yield the results.
Yeah, I think so. I think shortly after there's another one that again Johannes Beck has called, I think for the 17th, where we really are looking at it. That's what we're saying, that if you go to Hillbrook, I'm telling you, not even 1% of those people they are refugees.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to Yoko, now the main question is, do we have enough mechanism or adequate mechanisms as a country to deal with the mixed migration flow that is coming to us? Thank you.
Thanks very much, Mr. Sassi. I think on that note we'll have to take an opportunity to thank you and say that I'm sure you have seen from the vibrant interaction and the comments and questions that have been made by members that this is a very important presentation that they've made to us and to definitely help us to guide, educate and make our communities aware of what is happening out there regarding the refugees, and we are also learning today to know this information. And the department is having a huge work in terms of dealing with these challenges that they are faced with. And we look forward to the reports that we have requested as a committee that we will follow up on later. And also, I think at later stage as a committee, we will be calling on the NGOs and institutions that are dealing with the issuing of grants to refugees and other people so that we know deeper on what exactly are these grants all about, the procedures of issuing them out, to who and how. So this is very important for us as a committee to know exactly what is happening in our communities. And thank you very much. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Members, we are having just a 5-minute meeting to approve the report that will be taken to the plenary this afternoon on the CDA appointments and also minutes. Thanks. Just a 2-minute break so that they can excuse us.
Thank you.
the department is.
You will know later what is good to me.
You know what? Green Market Square. Yeah. 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 Yeah.